If you are thinking about starting a podcast, either by yourself, with a co-host, with guests, maybe it's audio only, or with video, please keep on listening. I started podcasting in early 2019, and for the rare occasions that I had on a guest, it was always in person. But once the pandemic came around and everything became remote, using Zencastr really, really opened up my possibilities of who I could have on a guest. I wasn't limited to the people who I could get in person anymore. I have recorded guests using Zencastr everywhere from just a handful of miles away from where I am in the Chicago area, all the way to the other side of the world in New Zealand. So the video and the audio quality are great, especially if they have a decent camera and microphone. And getting the files couldn't be easier. I really, really love that Zencastr records the audio and the video to the person's local computer, so the quality isn't lowered when you get things like internet hiccups. It then uploads the footage to the platform during the recording, and when you hit stop, it quickly finishes the upload and then processes the files so you can directly download them right from the platform. The files are even accessible if something goes wrong. And this next part, I'm going to basically read verbatim because I couldn't have said it better myself. It's super easy to record a podcast with Zencastr. Log in using your browser and start recording a high-quality podcast right away. Record studio-quality sound and up to 4K video with your guests. Feel a sense of zen knowing Zencastr's multi-layered backups ensure you always have your recordings in the highest quality, even if the connection is unstable. Have you ever worried what you sound like? Zencastr's post-production process makes you sound buttery smooth. It automatically removes those ums and ahs in your recording. It removes those awkward pauses in conversation, too. Set the right podcast loudness and levels while reducing background noise with a click of a button. If you have thought about podcasting before and realized that you need lots of different tools and services, those days are over. With Zencastr's all-in-one podcast platform, you can create your podcast all in one place and distribute to Spotify, Apple, and other major destinations. So, go to zencastr.com/pricing and use my code WORDNERD, WORDNERD, all one word, and you'll get 30% off your first month of any Zencastr paid plan. I want you to have the same easy experience as I do for all my podcasting and content needs. It's time to share your story. Hello, word nerds. How are you doing today? What's up with you? I'm recording this on February 5th, 7:05 a.m. Let us do this. Let's talk about all of these fun, weird, sciencey words that are going to be semi-complicated to say because they all have different emphases and lots of sciencey parts to the words. And I believe that they are mostly related to the word red, because they have the prefix, right? The E-R-Y-T-H-R prefix. Yes, they do. So let's talk about them. The first one is erythrism. Erythrism. So many of these words are going to start with E-R-Y-T-H-R, and then most of them are going to have an O after that. So I'm not even going to spell that part. Okay, erythrism, E-R-Y-T-H-R-I-S-M. Noun from 1864. This is a condition marked by exceptional prevalence of red pigmentation, Where is this red pigmentation? It is happening probably, possibly in the hair or feathers. So if your hair is red, if you're an animal and you have feathers that make you go flappy flap, and those are red, then you would have erythrism. Okay, a condition marked. Now, is this a thing, like, is this a temporary condition, or is this, like, you're born this way? Do you dye your hair red, or are you a natural redhead? Okay, this says erythrism or erythrochroism refers to an unusual reddish pigmentation of an animal's hair, skin, feathers, or eggshells. So this is, it's a congenital thing, so it does look like the, that you were born this way, but it's kind of like maybe albinism, where it maybe it's some sort of genetic mutation that makes an animal with albinism to have no pigmentation, right? That's kind of what that is. This one is, they're red. They're red. I'd never heard of this one before. There's some pictures. This is, what is this? It's a katydid. I had to look around the thing to see this is a katydid that's pigmented. It looks pink. It's a pink, pigmented katydid. Here's another one. There's another one. Why is it all four the same thing? Why can't you show me examples of different? That's literally erythrism in katydids, and there's four pictures. Now, here is one. It's a Welsh polecat. It looks like a weasel or a ferret. And it looks just like it's just orange. It looks like a redhead, basically. But I guess even that, yeah, it's red. It could be eggshells. Eggshells could be like this too. There's a fox that has a sort of pinkish. This is interesting. Yeah, let's post a picture on the social media at DictionaryPod for erythrism. Something that's got the erythrism. Great, erythristic or erythrismal. Those are adjectives. What should my sound effect be today? Well, let's just do. Is there a red? What's a red sound effect? I can't think of anything. Let's go. The next word is erythrite. Noun from 1844. A usually rose-colored mineral consisting of a hydrous cobalt arsenate, occurring especially in monoclinic crystals. And I don't understand any of what that means except that it's rose-colored. So maybe we got to post a picture of this erythrite on the social media as well. Because it probably looks kind of interesting. It's a mineral in a crystal or something. Yeah. Next is erythroblast. Yeah, that's it. Erythroblast. Let's see. And I think all of the rest of these ER words, yes, they're gonna start with erythro. So the erythroblast is a noun from circa 1890. The mid to late 1800s looks like they were naming lots of stuff with red. This is a polychromatic nucleated cell of red bone marrow that synthesizes hemoglobin and that is an intermediate in the initial state of red blood cell formation. Broadly, a cell ancestral to red blood cells. That's important. Erythroblastic is an adjective. Now, it's ancestral to red blood cells. Now, what exactly does that mean? Does that mean that animals, creatures, living things that have erythroblasts, that they were, this was like before red blood cells were created evolutionarily, and that they had these erythroblasts? What do they do? Polychromatic nucleated cell of red bone marrow that synthesizes hemoglobin and that has an intermediate in the initial stage of red blood cell formation. Or that's the other thing, is it something that helps to create red blood cells, or is the initial stage of red blood cells in your own body? I don't know. Let's put a link in the show notes for erythroblast so we can learn more about these things. It sounds like it's something that you've got, and then the red blood cells, maybe they evolve from them in your system. How long does that process take? Is it a day? Is it a week? A month? A year? I don't know. Initial stage of red blood cell formation. It sounds like this is the larval stage of the red blood cell. If the red blood cell is the adult version of this type of cell, then the erythroblast would be maybe the baby version. The baby version. Next is erythroblastosis. I thought it was erythroblastosis. No, it's erythroblastosis. Noun from circa 1923. Abnormal presence of erythroblasts in the circulating blood, especially the synonym, which is our next word, erythroblastosis fetalis. Fetalis. That's two words. So this is when you have the erythroblastosis, you have too many erythroblasts in your blood. Is this a bad thing? What happens when you have this? Why does this happen? What happened? Why did those erythroblasts not turn into red blood cells? I have so many questions. Maybe the next one is going to help us. Ooh, it's a long definition too. So let's strap in. Let's read it. Erythroblastosis fetalis. Oh, sound effect. Sorry about that. Erythroblastosis fetalis. F-E-T-A-L-I-S. And the word fetal is in there, which makes me think that maybe this happens in fetuses, or maybe it's because the erythroblast is kind of like the fetal version, the young version of the red blood cells. Let's find out why we're using this word. Noun from circa 1934. This is a hemolytic disease of the fetus. There we go, of the fetus and newborns. So just, you know, those early babies that occurs when the system of an Rh negative mother produces antibodies to an antigen in the blood of an Rh positive fetus, which cross the placenta and destroy fetal erythrocytes, and that is characterized by an increase in circulating erythroblasts and by jaundice. Jaundice, I think, is when your skin starts to look kind of yellow, so that seems like it has something to do with the blood, because that's a symptom of it. Okay, so I don't totally understood. I didn't totally understand what I just read. Something about when the mother of the baby, when they've got the baby in their body, the fetus, and the mother is Rh negative, and they make antibodies, and then I guess they send them to a fetus that is Rh positive. I don't know what the Rh means in this context. Goes through the placenta, and it destroys fetal erythrocytes, which we're going to learn about in a second. And there's so then somehow, for whatever reason, there's more erythroblasts going through the baby system. They haven't gotten a chance to turn into the red blood cells. Yeah, it's complicated for me because I don't know these things. But let's put a link in the show notes for. I think if we're putting one in for the erythroblasts, we got to do this for erythroblastosis fetalis as well. And this word, it's New Latin. It just means fetal erythroblastosis. So that is the erythroblastosis in the fetus, which we already knew. I'm curious, like, is this really, really bad? Is this only a little bad? How does this affect the baby? Is this easily treatable, hard to treat? I don't know any of these things. But we had that word, erythrocytes, destroys fetal erythrocytes. So what are those? Erythrocyte is a noun from circa 1894, and the site part of that word is C-Y-T-E. The synonym is just red blood cell. That's what it is. It's a blood cell that's red. It's not one of them white blood cells. Erythrocytic is an adjective. So if we go back to this erythroblastosis fetalis, there was that part. It destroys fetal erythrocytes. So what is it? The erythroblast or the something, whatever this condition is that's getting passed into the baby, the fetus, it starts destroying the red blood cells of the fetus, which is why it ends up with a whole bunch of erythroblasts and not enough red blood cells, which are also known as erythrocytes that we just learned. And that's not a good thing. You don't want your blood count to be low, probably, especially when you're a baby. You need those blood cells. Okay. We're learning the stuff. The next word. This is erythroid. Erythroid or erythroid. Either one is perfectly fine. Adjective from 1927. This is relating to erythrocytes or their precursors. So those would be the things that come before the erythrocytes, before the red blood cells. And what did we learn, class, earlier in this episode? What comes before the red blood cells? It's the erythroblasts. So it's probably about those things as well. Relating to erythrocytes, the red blood cells, or also relating to the things that come before the erythrocytes, the erythroblasts. Why blast? Did we have that suffix? I'm not going to look back. Don't remember what blast means. That's erythroid. So if you're ever talking about red blood cells, then you're having an erythroid conversation. Next is erythromycin. I think I added a syllable. Erythromycin. Because the end of the word is mycin. Noun from 1952. This is a broad spectrum antibiotic. I don't know how to say words sometimes. A broad-spectrum antibiotic, C37H67NO13, produced by an actinomycete and administered orally or topically. You can take it by the mouth or you can take it on the skin with a topical. So the species name of this actinomycete is Streptomyces erythreus. And it doesn't give me more information than that. I don't know how the word red is related to this word. Maybe it's colored red. It's a broad spectrum antibiotic made by this actinomycete and you eat it or rub it on the skin. I don't know. Yeah. Erythromycin. I mean, I've heard of this. I don't know what it is. Why do you use this? How does this help? What is this helping? Next is erythropoiesis. Erythropoiesis. Woo. So after the prefix, it is P-O-I-E-S-I-S. Noun from 1918. This is the production of red blood cells, as from the bone marrow. It's the process, the production of red blood cells, and in this case, at least this specific case, it's coming from the bone marrow. Is that where all the red blood cells come from? Why don't I know where they are produced? I don't know enough about this system. I just know the tiniest little basics. And which is that the red blood cells go through your body and do stuff. They do good stuff. Erythropoietic. Yeah, erythropoietic is an adjective. It doesn't give me any more etymology. You'd think that this whole poiesis part of the word would be from Greek or something. It doesn't say. Maybe if I'm feeling like it, I'll put a link in the show notes for this word erythropoiesis and where does this word come from? What's the etymology of this? Because it seems like there should be something. We know erythro, that's obviously red and seems like it's very much related to red blood cells, but the poiesis, is that bone marrow related? I don't know. I don't know nothing. Here is erythropoietin. Erythropoietin. P-O-I-E-T-I-N. Noun from 1948. This is a a glycoprotein hormone formed especially in the kidney and stimulating red blood cell formation. It stimulates the body to create more red blood cells. It's a hormone. Okay, it's a hormone that comes from the kidney. Well, the kidneys are back over here and back over here if you got two of them. And so it's mostly formed in the kidney, and then it gets sent out into the body to say, body, we need more red blood cells to do the work that we need to do. We do not have enough red blood cells to do the processing of the liquids in the urine to turn into urine. So please, please, please make us more red blood cells. Bones, get on it. Bones, come on. We need the red blood cells. So that is erythropoietin. That's the hormone that's doing this thing, that's telling the body to do this thing. Okay. I will promptly forget it, but it is interesting to learn about these hormones. Next is erythrocin, or erythrocine, or erythra... How is that pronounced differently? I don't think it's pronounced differently at all, but you can add an E at the end if you like. Erythrocin or erythrocine. This one is a noun from circa 1882. This is any of several dyes, D-Y-E-S, made from fluorescein that yield reddish shades. That word, I don't know how to pronounce that word, fluorescein, F-L-U-O-R-E-S-C-E-I-N. I'm just going to assume it's pronounced fluorescein. Is that maybe a hormone? Seems like it might be. And if, well, but it's a dye. No, that doesn't probably make any sense. It's a thing. So the erythrocin is a dye made from this fluorescein, and it makes red shades. Shades of red. Sunglasses that are red. The etymology isn't very helpful because it's from erythra plus eosin, and I don't know what eosin means. Did we have that word before? Let's see. I don't remember much in an EO section. M-N-O-P, erythro here. Ooh, eosin, a red fluorescent dye. Boy, when you read the dictionary every day, you come and go. A lot of stuff just comes and goes right through your head. Eosin, it's a red fluorescent dye. Yeah, okay, it's a dye. That's eosin. And this one specifically is red. Okay, that's erythrocin. Next word. That was our last ER word. The ERs are done. Now, let's move into the ESs. The first one is capital E, lowercase s. It is the symbol for einsteinium. And that's the symbol. Oh, if I remember correctly, that's the molecule, the atom, the element that was named after Einstein. I believe it was the year that he died. And they were like, well, he hasn't done enough to have a legacy, so we need to name an element after him. He died, so let's name this after him. It might not be related to Einstein in any way whatsoever, but it got named after him. Einsteinium. Next. It is the suffix ES, and we got two forms of this one. This one, the pronunciation says it is pronounced us, or it's is when it's after an S, a Z, an SH or a CH, or it's pronounced just Z after a V or after a vowel. Okay, so let's see. I think we got some examples here, so we'll dig into that more. This is a noun plural suffix, and this is used to form the plural of most nouns that end in S, as in glasses, is. So it's is in that context. But, let's see, I'm looking, okay, here, I see what's going on. So it's a used to form the plural of most nouns that end in S, as in glasses, or nouns that end in Z, as in fuzzes. Are we talking about plural fuzzes? Oh, there's a fuzz there, there's a fuzz, there's fuzzes all over the place. We're just covered in fuzzes. When they end in SH, it's bushes. When they end in CH, as in peaches. Peaches. Or a final Y that changes to an I, as in ladies. Look at those ladies. So lady is L-A-D-Y, but when you make a plural ladies, then it's L-A-D-I-E-S. And let's see. Then it's a zzz sound, ladies, because it's followed by a vowel. The ES is followed by a vowel. And there's more to the definition. And of some nouns ending in F that changes to a V, as in loaves. We have one bread loaf. You got two loafs. You got loaves. L-O-A-V-E-S. And that's where the pronunciation is just Z. Loaves. The F becomes a V, and then you add the Z. It says compared to the first form of the suffix S. So that's also making things plural. You're adding an S to things. Things. T-H-I-N-G-S. You added an S. But in this context, we're talking about adding an ES to things to make them plural. Okay, that was a lot of information all about making something plural. But, you know, it was kind of interesting to dig into how the pronunciation changes, how sometimes the spelling changes based on what word that you are pluralizing. My favorite of those probably was fuzzes. Peaches, I like peaches too. Peaches, I like to eat peaches, but also, you know, we've got the really love your peaches, wanna shake your tree. And then, of course, I was singing Bowser's song Peaches from the Super Mario Brothers movie, and it's just very silly and fun. Okay, that's it for S, the first form. Let's talk about the second form of S-E-S. This is a verb suffix, and this is used to form the third person singular present of most verbs that end in S, as in blesses, or when they end in a Z, fizzes. They just took fuzzes and made it fizzes. This is the action. This is a verb. Something is fizzing. It fizzes. When they end in SH, like hushes, hush. When they end in CH, as in catches, the catcher is making some catches. Or a final Y that changes to an I, as in defies, like you defy gravity. Ooh, that defies gravity. And then it says compared to the third form of the suffix S, which is going to be similar, but, you know, it's an S instead of an ES. So it's going to be added onto verbs in a different context. Anything else about that? Not really. So let's move on to this is ESO. Is it ESO or ESAW? ESAW? ESAW. That's it. I knew it. ESAW, capital E-S-A-U, noun, from before the 12th century. Now, I've seen this word. never really, I don't think I could have told you what it is. This is the elder son of Isaac and Rebecca, who sold his birthright to his twin brother Jacob. He sold his birthright, so does that mean that he was going to carry on, he was going to be the successor, or what? He had a birthright of some kind, and he didn't want it. And he said, Jacob, you know, I think you should have my birthright, but you're not going to get it for free. You got to pay me for it. What did he do? Why did he do this? I don't know. Okay. Next is ESB, all caps, abbreviation for electrical stimulation of the brain. What are we using this? What context is this being used in? Well, I know that there is electroshock therapy. I actually know somebody who just started getting this because they are going through a major long depressive situation, and they have tried lots of things, and so this is a little bit of a last resort. I hope it works. But is this the same as electrical stimulation of the brain? Ooh, I love it when my brain gets stimulated by those electrodes. Yeah, not sure how exactly we're using this. Yeah, maybe we need to look up a bit more information for this ESB, electrical stimulation of the brain, so we can figure out what are we talking about here. Well, I mean, I do know that when they do brain surgery, sometimes they need to add some electrostimulation to the brain to test different areas, see what's going on up there. What's going on in the brain? So maybe that's where they use it, or something else. I don't know. Last word. It's escadrille or escadrille. It is spelled E-S-C-A-D-R-I-L-L-E. Seems like escadrille would be the more proper way to say it, because it is French, but you know, we Americans, we don't like to say things proper. We like to say escadrille. Escadrille, noun from 1912. This is a unit of a European Air Command containing usually 6 airplanes. This is a French word, escadrille, which means flotilla, or it just means escadrille. Don't know how or why it means what it is. It is also from the Spanish escuadrilla, which is the diminutive of escuadra, which means squadron. You can see where we get that word from, or it's just squad, and there's more at the word squad. And so it's just a squad. Who is your squad? If you got people in your squad, then maybe they would be your escadrille. But usually they're in Europe, and usually they are 6 airplanes. The Blue Angels, I think that there's 5 of them. So I'm sorry, they're not allowed to be an escadrille. Maybe there's 6. I thought there was 5, but I could be wrong. Yep, just 6 airplanes flying in Europe. All right, I need to pick a word of the episode. Which one are we going to pick? Which one? Today we had erythrism, erythrite, erythroblast, erythroblastosis, erythroblastosis fatalis, erythrocyte, erythroid, erythromycin, erythropoiesis, erythropoietin, erythrocin, ES, SS, Esau, ESB, and escadrille. Oh, let's see. We got a lot of possibilities here. Well. I mean, I love it. I love pluralizing nouns and verbs that end in certain letters, like S and Z and SH and CH. And I, Y to I, and F to V. Let's see. Anything else? I don't know. I don't know. Well, erythrocytes are red blood cells. Those are pretty dang important. Anything? Not really. I don't know. Let's just pick erythrocyte as the word of the episode. I got erythrocytes going through my veins. That's what they do. They give me the pains. If the erythrocytes are giving you the pains, then they are not doing their job correctly at all. Erythrocyte, that's the word of the episode. And now I will tell you the movie of the episode, because that's what's next. Out of Darkness. Out of Darkness. This was a secret movie showing that we bought a ticket to a rated R horror movie. That's all we knew. And I believe it has not officially been released. It doesn't have a wide release in America. It was at some festivals and I think maybe in some other countries. But yeah, so it was, I think it was a little bit of an early secret screening, Out of Darkness. So maybe it's released by the time you hear this. And it was really good and interesting and dark. It's called Out of Darkness, and a lot of the movie is in the darkness, and it's all lit up only by, like, fire. I don't know if that was a natural lighting thing or if they added lights to make it look like. I don't know the details of that, but yeah, it's really interesting look, and it takes place in the Stone Age. The Stone Age. Yeah. So check out Out of Darkness if you're interested in these sort of horror-y, thriller-y kind of movies. And it's not in English. I think it's in a made-up Stone Age language, if I remember reading that correctly. Okay, that's the end of the episode. Thank you very much for listening and watching. And until next time, this is Spencer dispensing information. Goodbye.